Today we will be speaking on a subject that we've spoken on before, but we will be taking it from a little bit different direction. It is called Elijah is Come. For those of you that are not familiar with the word Elijah, most people say Elijah, E-L-I-J-A-H. But the ja is not proper pronunciation. It should be Elijah. It means, my God is Yah. And we do a study on the name of God in another video. Today we will be considering Elijah is come. Our first scripture will be Matthew 17:12. If you will turn there with me. Matthew 17:12. Yahshua is talking here and he says, well, let's actually start in verse 11. And Yahshua answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed, or whatsoever they desired. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Yahshua says here that Elijah truly shall come. That is a future event. And he says Elijah shall come first to restore all things. That is, all things pertaining to godliness. And then he says to them, but Elijah is come already, and you did not know him. Elijah is to come, and Elijah has come. Let's turn to Malachi. And before we, if you've already found that reference, let's go to a scripture in Revelation before we go there. Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. We're going to be going to Malachi chapter 4, but first let's go to Revelation chapter 11. Starting with verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Many in the Christian world today, many Bible instructors and teachers, are assuming and teaching their constituency that these two witnesses will be Elijah or Elijah and perhaps Moses, or Elijah and Enoch. It is interesting that they are looking forward to Elijah's return. So this is not something that is exclusively a concept that's given to the Sabbath-keeping constituencies. The Christian world at large are expecting the return of Elijah. Let's go to Malachi now. Malachi chapter 4. It's the last book in the Old Testament. Let's read beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 6. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yah, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith Yah. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yah. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So we see a great and dreadful day coming, a day of burning, a day of judgment. And who shall stand in that day? But before that day, he says, go back, review the law of Moses. Remember the law of Moses. And review what I taught to my people Israel. And he said, before this coming of this great and dreadful day, I'm going to send you the prophet Elijah. And in Matthew 17:12, we saw where Yahshua said, Elijah has already come, but you did not know him. And in verse 11, he said, Elijah is to come, yet future. How do we explain this? How do we understand this? I hope we will be able to as we go through this. Can we trust Yah's prophets? Let's look at what the word says about that. Go to Amos 3:7. Amos is before Jonah and after Hosea, which is after Daniel. Hosea 3:7. Surely, Yah, the Almighty, will do nothing except he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. Surely Yah will do nothing unless he reveals it to his servants the prophets. And then to give a little bit more credibility to what we're saying, go to 2 Chronicles 20:20. Second Chronicles 20 and verse 20. And we take it up about halfway through the verse where it says, believe It would actually be verse 20b. Believe in Yah, your God, or your Almighty One, so shall ye be established. Okay, to believe in Yah will establish you. Believe His prophets, so shall ye prosper. So to believe in Yah will establish you. But if you want to prosper in the spiritual life, you must believe His prophets. And so we have the Word of God set before us in the major canon of the Bible. And we have extra-biblical writings of those who have been inspired by the Holy Spirit to write and give us counsel as well. But our main source, our ultimate source of doctrine and faith is the Bible. Can we believe these prophets? Can we trust these prophets? Yes, we can. James gives us a little bit of a description about Elijah. Let's turn to James chapter 5. James 5, 17 and 18. Elijah was a man, subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. This was the work of Elijah. And he was a man. He was a human being, like as we are, yet full of faith, as we are to be. Yahshua says, Elijah is come. Let's take a look at some things surrounding that first advent of Christ. Luke chapter 1. Turn there with me, please. Luke chapter 1. We will see here some description of John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. Let's take it up at verse 13. But the angel said unto him, that's to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of Yah, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to Yah the Almighty. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for Yah. Now we have a clue concerning what Yahshua said. Elijah is come. and you knew him not. For John the Baptist came ushering in the first advent of Christ. And they did not understand. They did not know him. They did not know the significance of John the Baptist's work. John the Baptist himself said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And Yahshua himself submitted to the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance. Although Christ was never guilty of sin, not even in a thought, but he submitted to that baptism to show us how we are to act in obedience to the baptism of repentance. So now let's turn to Matthew 17. Once again, and read from verse 10. His disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elijah must come first?" You see, the scribes did not recognize John the Baptist as being Elijah in the spirit and power of Elijah. But the scribes say, Elijah must come first before the Messiah can come. Malachi 4 tells us that. This Yahshua, he cannot be the Messiah. Elijah has not come yet. Verse 11, and Yahshua answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they desired. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Yahshua answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Are we in a faithless generation now? Oh yes, we are in another faithless generation. We are in a generation that is looking forward to seeing the second advent of Christ. Why was Elijah to come? Yahshua says he was or is to restore all things. And that is all things pertaining to godliness. So what we have John the Baptist ushering in the first advent of Christ. He prepared the way for Christ to minister in his first advent. We notice that the religious leaders did not recognize either John the Baptist or the Messiah himself at that first advent. Is it possible that Yahshua, when saying Elijah is yet to come to restore all things, that he was pointing down to the end of time, to that perverse generation at the end of time when the second advent was to occur. Is it possible that Elijah is to come to set all things right and prepare a people for the second coming of Christ? This is my thesis. Let's turn to John chapter 1 first and look at the testimony of John, just to get a feel for John's attitude. John chapter 1, 19 through 23. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elijah?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of Yah. As said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. So, when John was questioned on the matter, he denied being Elijah. And yet, Yahshua points to him as the coming of Elijah. Is this a contradiction? Nay, it is not a contradiction. For John the Baptist spoke truly, "I am not Elijah. I am John." But he said, by pointing to the scripture, what his office or job was. And Yahshua spoke correctly when he said, "Elijah is come." And the disciples understood him to be saying, in the power, in the spirit and power of Elijah, John the Baptist has come. In the spirit and power of Elijah. Let's turn to Isaiah 43 through 5. Isaiah 43 through 5. Let's start at verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your Almighty. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of Yah's hand double for her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yah, make straight in the desert a highway for our Almighty One. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of Yah shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of Yah hath spoken it. This is the job of Elijah, to prepare a people to receive the glory of Yah, to make straight the highway, to straighten out the crooked places, to bring down the mountains and lift up the valleys and make a level plain, to put an end to double standards, to make that path, that holiness highway, narrow and straight as it's intended to be. This was the work of John the Baptist, and he admitted to it. And it was in the spirit and power of Elijah that he came according to the Savior. Let's go to Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. What was John the Baptist's message, really? Matthew 3, 1 through 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of Yah, make his path straight." Isaiah 43. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Let's go further. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers! Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits suitable for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that Yah is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And then comes Yahshua to be baptized. So the message of John the Baptist was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of grace through the Messiah's first advent was at hand. And God himself was walking among men. Let's turn also to Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Now, in the 50th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis and Lysanias, and tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word of Yah came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yah, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of Yah." Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that Yah is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." So we see two witnesses saying the same thing. We can trust the prophets. The message of John was one that was straight. It was not watered down in the least. It was the ministry of the prophet Elijah. Now let's come down to the second advent. Elijah is yet to come, according to the Savior. And he is coming to restore all things. Turning back to Matthew chapter 17 for review. And Yahshua answered and said unto them, "Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not." Elijah is to come. Elijah is yet to come. He is to come to prepare the way for the second coming of Christ. Do you suppose they will recognize him? They did not recognize him in John the Baptist. Yahshua clearly says, "You knew him not." Do you suppose they were ready for the first advent of Christ? No, they were not. They didn't even recognize the precursor to the Messiah. If you can accept it, Elijah is come. And if you do not recognize Elijah, you will most certainly miss out on the second coming of Christ. Let us turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, starting with verse 19. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yah." Now, when do you suppose the times of refreshing will come? Let's read on. And he shall send Yahshua the Messiah, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which Yah hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. The King James Version is the most reliable version of those scriptures there. It is time to repent and be converted, for there are times of restitution of all things coming. Yahshua said, Elijah is to come and restore all things. He is sending Yahshua the Messiah. He is sending him in his second advent. There is to be a time of refreshing. There is to be a time of restitution. There is to be a time of Elijah's ministry ushering in that second advent. Just as there was a time of crying in the wilderness by John the Baptist prior to Yahshua's first advent. Are we prepared to accept the ministry of Elijah, to restore true worship and the altar of Yah? Elijah is come. If you can receive him, if you can recognize him, I will read you some inspired words as we come to our close. Those who are to prepare the way for the second coming of Christ are represented by faithful Elijah. As John came in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way for Christ's first advent, the great subject of reform is to be agitated, and the public mind is to be stirred. Temperance in all things is to be connected with the message, to turn the people of Yah from their idolatry, their gluttony, and their extravagance in dress and other things. Those whom God has chosen for an important work have ever been received with distrust and suspicion. Anciently, when Elijah was sent with a message from Yah to the people, they did not heed the warning. They thought him unnecessarily severe. They even thought that he must have lost his senses because he denounced them, the favored people of God, as sinners, and their crimes as so aggravated that the judgments of God would awaken against them. Satan and his host have ever been arrayed against those who bear the message of warning and who reprove sins. The unconsecrated shall also be united with the adversary of souls to make the work of God's faithful servants as hard as possible. The Laodicean message applies to the people of God who profess to believe present truth. The greater part are lukewarm professors, having a name but no zeal. Yah signified that he wanted men at the great heart of the work to correct the state of things existing there and to stand like faithful sentinels at their post of duty. He has given them a light, or he has given them light at every point to instruct, encourage, and confirm them as the case required. But notwithstanding all this, those who should be faithful and true, fervent in Christian zeal, of gracious temper, knowing and loving Yahshua earnestly, are found aiding the enemy to weaken and discourage those whom Yah is using to build up the work. The term lukewarm is applicable to this class. They profess to love the truth yet are deficient in Christian fervor and devotion. They dare not give up wholly and run the risk of the unbeliever. Yet they are unwilling to die to self and follow out closely the principles of their faith. The time is not far distant when the test will come to every soul. The mark of the beast will be urged upon us. Those who have step by step yielded to worldly demands and conformed to worldly customs will not find it hard, and it will not be a difficult matter to yield to the powers that be. Rather than subject themselves to derision, insult, threaten imprisonment, and death. The contest is between the commandments of Yah and the commandments of men. In this time, the gold will be separated from the dross in the church. True godliness will be clearly distinguished from the appearance and tinsel of it. Many a star that we have admired for its brilliancy will then go out in darkness. Chaff, like a cloud, will be borne away on the wind, even from places where we see only floors of rich wheat. All who assume the ornaments of the sanctuary, but are not clothed with the righteousness of Christ, will appear in the shame of their own nakedness. God leads people on step by step. He brings them up to different points, calculated to manifest what is in the heart. Some endure at one point, but fall off at the next. At every advanced point, the heart is tested and tried a little closer. If the professed people of God find their hearts opposed to this straight work, it should convince them that they have a work to do to overcome, if they would not be spewed out of the mouth of Yah, said the angel. God will bring his work closer and closer to test and prove every one of his people. Some are willing to receive one point, but when Yah brings them to another testing point, they shrink from it and stand back, because they find that it strikes directly at some cherished idol. Here, they have opportunity to see what is in their hearts that shuts out Yahshua. They prize something higher than the truth, and their hearts are not prepared to receive Yahshua fully. Individuals are tested and proved a length of time to see if they will sacrifice their idols and heed the counsel of the true witness. If they will not be purified through obeying the truth and overcome their selfishness, their pride, and evil passions, the angels of Yah have this charge. They are joined to their idols, let them alone. And they pass on to their work, leaving these with their sinful traits unsubdued to the control of evil angels. Those who come up to every point and stand every test and overcome, be the price what it may be, have heeded the counsel of the true witness, and they will receive the latter rain and thus be fitted for translation. They will receive that latter rain which Elijah prays for and is poured out by Yah in the form of his Holy Spirit. In this age, just prior to the second coming of Christ in the clouds of heaven, such a work as that of John is to be done. Yah calls for men who will prepare a people to stand in the great day of Yah. Remember that great day we read about in Malachi 4? That day that burns and melts the very elements of this earth. As the people who believe in Christ's soon coming, we have a message to bear. Prepare to meet thy God. Our message must be as direct as was the message of John. He rebuked kings for their iniquity. Notwithstanding that his life was imperiled, he did not hesitate to declare Yah's word. And our work in this age must be done faithfully. Elijah is come. And he spoke in no uncertain terms. Prepare ye the way of Yah. Today, if you can accept it, Elijah is come. And he is preparing a people for translation. He is preparing the way for the second coming of Yahshua. Have you seen him? Have you recognized him? I pray that you will. Shall we close with prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you that you have sent the prophet Elijah to us. That he is building up the old waste places. He is renewing the faith of Yahshua. He is rebuilding the altar of Yah. He is inviting all, everywhere, to repent and be converted. For the axe is taken to the root of the trees, and only the trees that bring forth good fruit will stand in the day of judgment. Thank you, Father, that Elijah is come. May we recognize him, receive his ministry, and join him in preparing a people to meet Yahshua in his soon second advent. These things we pray earnestly and fervently in the name of Yahshua, our blessed Messiah. Amen.